This episode was recorded on the day of Liz Truss's resignation as Prime Minister of the United Kingdom.
Liam's normally a big U-turner, but Girls Aloud remain in his series winner post after 8 weeks.
Eight weeks is good these days, you know. Meanwhile, Scott is demonstrating strong leadership over his series winner position. His cabinet still firmly contains Girls Aloud as well.
Welcome to the Naughtiest Naughty Podcast. Scott and Liam here going through every single top 10 single of the Naughties decade, because word on the street is it was the best decade, so we're trying to find the naughtiest pop song every single top 10. Big job.
Big job. Mm-hmm. The biggest job.
Yes.
We take our job seriously.
We take our jobs very seriously.
Very seriously. Mm-hmm. We're doing this on a very special day. But literally an hour ago, she was out on the front of Downing Street and she chucked in the towel.
Do you know what? It was so quick and so prompt. It was probably one of the most listenable things I've experienced outside of that door in a long time.
Yeah.
You know.
Normally these political speeches go on for ages.
Oh, yeah.
And hers was like a TikTok length. I got a friend who literally watched it on TikTok.
Amazing.
And saw the whole thing.
Interesting. Yeah. What's she doing with the kids? No.
Well, yeah. Anyway. We'll not leave it too much. Actually, by the time this goes out next Friday from us talking about it today, there'll be a new leader.
Do we make predictions? Well, I don't know anybody else other than Rishi Sunak.
Well, I think because it's going amongst MPs, we think at this point, I think Sunak stands a chance.
Okay.
But if you saw how he did in the last election amongst the members, he got trounced.
Yeah, is there? Oh, I wonder if we've got general election talk on the go. Oh, this is. Let's talk about Northern Irish politics instead. At least that's a bit interesting.
So we're recording this in October. The last seven episodes you've heard recently have all been recorded like in August.
Yeah.
So we're now kind of like back to more present day events. Because of which I've only seen you a couple of times in that time.
Yes.
We've had Creamfields in that time, which was brilliant.
We have.
We got to meet Scooter.
We did meet Scooter, didn't we?
We mentioned Scooter on the podcast before. We've done his songs. We've done songs that haven't even gotten the top 10 because we love him that much.
Mm-hmm.
And we met him. He was brilliant. You interviewed him.
Yes.
It's on the Dance Revolution. Where can they find it to listen to it?
It's probably on mixcloud.com/dancerevolution, to be honest. I had to remember that web address because I've not said it out loud in so long. My jingles do the work, darling.
Yes.
It was so strange because we've tried for 12 years to get him,
mm-hmm.
but because he... Well, I'm assuming, this is completely an assumption in my head, but I'm assuming because the UK has been so snobby about Scooter for such a long time and he's always been the brunt of jokes and stuff, they probably don't do much press because they think that they're going to get ripped.
Mm-hmm.
And then it wasn't until... We said, oh, we playlisted F2020. It was such a jam. The manager went, hold on a second. And then went back into the hot thing or his dressing room and had a word with him and said, yeah, he'll talk to you. Come
These
back
guys
after
are the,
the
real
gig.
Deal.
Yeah. And then we thought, obviously, we were being blagged because we've been told before to come back after the gig and then nothing's happened. Whereas we racked up all kind of ready to go and, got him in the microphone to go, yeah, happy.
What a great, great day. It was a great weekend, wasn't it? We had a really lovely time.
It was good. I had the three best nights sleep of the year. Who does this? Who goes to a festival and has the three best night sleeps ever?
And I was hungover for like a full week.
Oh, you were? And I was the one drinking red wine, but you were hungover. You were ill.
The entire time, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so because we've been recording all those in the space of 3 days and editing them kind of as we go along, I spent the last 7 weeks editing stuff that we said like months ago. Loads of stuff that's like aged like milk. Loads of like political stuff. Loads of like music stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Things have happened in that time. Too much stuff to kind of even go into what's changed in that time.
No.
Really, I could have made a big list, but I haven't. But one thing that has really struck me from just hearing the stuff we said ages ago and just having to hear us consistently week after week without remembering what we said is partly going, we know our stuff. Partly.
Okay.
Sometimes going, oh, actually, we're funnier than I think sometimes.
Okay.
And also, who the F uck are we to judge on music? Could either of us make a song? I'm sitting there going like, what gave us the credibility and criteria and mandate to cast judgment on these pop songs?
I have told you, I had a PlayStation, I had that game called Music, and I made a song called Everybody that was mint, and it could only be so big because of the size of my memory card. I am a music producer, and had I had a bigger memory card, I could have been the Messiah of the music industry by now. But, you know, PlayStation, you should have given a bigger standard memory card when we started off.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, look,
been different.
I've not got much on. If we can get your music ability into my free time, then maybe we could actually make a track that would be fitting of when our children and grandchildren make the naughtiest 20s, you know, in 20, 30 years' time. They can be talking about, you know, Liam and Scott's amazing musical
masterpiece.
There's
not going to be any major hits, though, is there? Nobody's going to, not everybody's going to know any songs anymore because they're all going to have such customised playlists.
Mm.
There's not going to be like a Bohemian Rhapsody that everybody knows of that decade.
But that's what we've got to make. I say I've got no musical ability, but I was doing karaoke in a pub on a Monday afternoon last week, and I did a brilliant rendition of Talking Heads' Once in a Lifetime.
Did you, though?
I did a rendition. I came back to the table, and the people I was with said it was the best thing they'd ever seen.
Ah, heroin does that
too. I'm not there yet. Right, so it's the Naughty Snorty back with some pop tunes. What have we got? I'm building it like we're coming back after a long hiatus, but like actually, like I mean, we are.
We
but
are.
This isn't.
No.
It doesn't need any grandeur. Let's just get into it. What's coming up?
But we do have two massive pump-up anthems in the same week. You've got one from DMX and the White Stripes. We've got a Room 2 Rager from Lisa Mafia and Busted Make It a Third Time Lucky.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of Busted, boy bands and another one and another one and yet another one in the form of 888. Can any of these topple girls aloud? Let us, political joke, find out. It's the 27th of April 2003, a week that has six new entries. We'll do all of them today. We'll start off with a boy band, but like a number one boy band. There hasn't really been a lot of number one boy bands for a while, so this probably is the first one for a little while.
Yeah, and you know what? We're going to get to a boy band and then we're going to realise why.
Yeah, this one's a number one, and the next one, I think it's a number 8 or a number 9 or a number 10, but it's more of a number 2.
Mm-hmm.
Cute little giggle from Scott. Number one on the album charts this week was from Madonna. Last week we kind of weren't terribly nice about American Life, the single.
Yeah.
I've kind of had more time to think about it. I've had to edit the podcast and hear the song again and hear what we said about it. And I still stand by the fact I think it's quite bold how mental it was. But good on her.
Mm-hmm.
Good on her.
Yeah, and weirdly, for Dance Revolution, the radio station, I've been going through my back catalogue of songs and looking for... I needed more pop dance in my pop dance category, so I've added some like Rihanna's Please Don't Stop the Music and all of that kind of stuff, but stuff that's clearly still dance and dance bass lines. But then actually I've ended up adding in loads of Madonna tunes too. I think Celebration's gone in, Music might have already been in there. I'm trying to think of the other Madonna ones that I've added in, but yeah, so I think the fact that we know that we're heading somewhere else with Madonna anyway just kind of softens it a little bit. But if that was like the last track, then yeah, it was a bit different.
Yeah. I want to know, when's the Madhouse version of American Life going to come out?
Oh my goodness. Well, that's Clubland, isn't it?
Yeah.
So where am I? What am I driving?
Have you got any Madhouse in your playlist on Dance Rev?
I don't.
Like a prayer's a banger.
I could probably actually reach that because I ended up putting in Skylar Breaking Free.
Oh yeah,
last week. Do you remember that one? Yeah. She covered. Is that High School Musical?
High School Musical. Yeah,
she did it in 2008. Sorry. But yeah, so I went into like a strange Clubland zone. I went and bought loads of Clubland tracks too, and there was ones I should have had that I didn't have, but do you remember Italio Brothers, Stomp on the Ground,
jump,
so that's in as well too. But yeah, I don't know where we're going with those ones, but
I know where we're going with the podcast. We're going to go into some top 10 singles, starting with the brand new number one. For the last 4 weeks it has been Room 5 with Make Love. And now we're going to a totally different direction, back to the world of Busted, who by this point have had two singles that should have been number ones realistically, or at least in a lot of people's minds are number ones but weren't. This is the one that was, the first one that was. It's called You Said No.
This is the third single from the debut studio album Busted, and I can't decide if this is an intro juice or not, because there's
I've written intro juice. Yeah, I have.
Have you? I think it has like guitar. I think it has like Blink 182 vibes and stuff.
It has a little quick bit of drum at the start.
Yeah. There's just something mastering wise about it that just makes it a bit pop music.
Yeah.
But I have taken up my little intro juice section on the page with the word. It does end in a question mark, but yeah, okay, I would say yeah, introduce. But I love this.
Yeah,
I did love this.
You already know that I love busting. Whenever they come round, I'll say it again. There's a reason the podcast exists, so we always got to give them special attention.
Mm-hmm.
We can even go through this in kind of chronological order, really. I've got like a lot of my notes just sort of chart various bits of the song in the order they happen. Opening line, "You're so fit and you know it." You know, for a band that have already been accused of a lot of kind of, you know, kind of female, like, well, male gaze, kind of leering at females, to have that as the first line shows that there's not really been a lot of growth. I think this song could be my first exposure to the word bitch.
Does it have bitch in it?
Yeah, because my life's such a bitch.
Oh, yeah. Okay,
I mean, like, on the radio, it'll have been, like, wiped.
Yeah, I don't know the RID version.
I had the album, so I'll have heard the word bitch.
Liam, you bad boy.
I know. I know. But, yeah, I was trying to think. It must be. It's 7-year-old.
Do you know what I love about this one, right? Do you know whenever you were at school and you'd be singing the hymns and the bangers, come on, the ones that be like, oh, I love an assembly hall banger.
Keep the load of my lamp.
Yeah, sort of. And then, you know, when you get to a certain point in it, people start to, like, smile when they're singing, and then the whole thing kind of lifts up a bit. I think the pre-chorus is a bit that, like, where it's like, "You and your friends are laughing at me now." I feel like that's like a really smiley sentence, and then it's the point in the song where everybody's smiling along, ready for the drop into the chorus, and there's something just really happy and giddy about it. But yeah, I think it's a nice little hooky number.
It is a nice little hooky number, a very huge chanty chorus.
Yeah.
Which it gets to quite quickly. Like, it's a song that I think it's about 2 minutes 45 seconds. It doesn't do a lot of beating around the bush. I think it's quite a clinical, like,
see, I like that.
Quite a good sort of quite surgically precise bit of pop music.
Yeah.
I still know all of the words. I still love all of the words. I still love the "you diss me" and "you ditch me." Which is obviously like in the Good Charlotte Blink-182 school of American accents, which they are very much not American, but you'd probably not have told if you'd seen this for the first time without any kind of context. You'd think, oh, those are some lads from Washington State or whatever.
Yeah.
Or as you said last time we spoke about busted, some kind of like private school, like part of like New Hampshire or something.
You just said something though, and I'm like, hold on a second, have I interviewed Charlie Simpson? And I can't.
You can never forget those eyebrows.
Not face-to-face.
Oh, right, okay.
It'll not have been a face-to-face. It'll be there's something in me now goes, well, hold on a second, you've interviewed him, and I don't know why I would have interviewed him or where.
Fight Star?
It would have been Fight Star, but I don't know why I'd have been doing the interview, because he probably wasn't on Amazing Radio. I was unlikely to have done it, unless I did it on daytime. There's a small chance. Something, you made a noise a minute ago that reminded me of him, and I was picturing actually talking to him, so unless I've gone psychotic, you know.
I mean, eyebrows are not as crazy.
Do you know what I want to know? I want to know about the busted brief. You know, before they turn the cameras on, and like how the director goes, right, so this is how you have to look at the camera, because they all stare at the camera.
It's a lot of gurning, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like one of the scary dolls you get off like Toy Story 3 or 4 or something. There's like a whole stare where you don't blink. And, you know, it's a bit like
camera in hand. Yeah, the turn of the head, I don't know what you mean, where they're kind of like.
And they just stare. Yeah, they glaze down. It's a bit like whenever Joey gets his head stuck in the door and Monica's trying to baste his head in Friends and he's trying to hypnotise her to let them in. There's just this stare. I want to hear the conversation about why they think that's like
The direction.
A good look, because actually it's probably the most punchable points.
Maybe it isn't even direction. Maybe it's just an energy that they just can't help. Maybe you're thinking more closer than the directors and they ever did.
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay. I know what you mean, though. I know what you mean. I do know what you mean.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a classic na-na-na-na bridge.
Yep.
Which kind of is very associated with the kind of pop-punk sound.
I love you,
and
man.
I think it reminds me of the Saturday morning TV show I watched, Ministry of Mayhem, which was, on reflection, looking back now, absolutely terrible. Because all of the episodes are on YouTube now.
Oh, no.
You know, back when I did my dissertation at uni, which was about Saturday morning kids' TV, there was nothing about anywhere. And now somebody's got them all on videotape and put them all online.
Did you not have access to Box of Broadcasts?
No.
Oh, I probably could have got you them all.
Bastard.
Soz.
Anyway, I got an okay grade, so it's all fine.
Good for them.
But no, the theme tune for that show is very much like a busted song. It has the same na-na-nas, and it's the same kind of like guitar sounding. There's even the same kind of like, you know, the way the notes sort of screech on this.
Yeah.
Like the distortion, but it's kind of like almost like the strings have kind of been pulled in such a way that they kind of... whenever you do them. It's that same sort of thing. This was kind of my na-na-na era of music coming in now. I wasn't going for anything kind of remotely obscure. It was all just busted in this sort of pop sound. But yeah, so there's that kind of bit of the bridge. There's another bit of bridge, which I think is a bit shonky as well. But otherwise, this is like it's a good bit of busted that I feel like busted fans will know and love, but maybe isn't up there with like 3000 and What I Go to School For as like the ones that people remember, even though it was the number one.
If somebody said to me, sing a busted song, I would probably sing this. That's the one I would sing. Yeah, but that's not representation of anybody else.
Yeah, no.
No, and it must be because I had the most exposure to it, I think, at this point. But I can remember, I can't remember what it was, my friend Sarah or her little sister, who were both obsessed with Charlie. There was a moment where his eyebrows were out of sync and they thought that was really hot. Like, because his eyebrows, one was up
and
one was down.
They've got a world, they've got a life of their own.
They're very Schitt's Creek.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Eugene Levy.
Yeah.
I know what you mean.
So he could, that boy's going to need some control over them when he gets older. But I really like it.
To go back to Charlie, because, like, you know, I think everyone, I do kind of really get why everyone, in my notes I've written here, sucked off, but I'm going to think about that word differently. Everyone admired him so much.
my head went fellatio.
Well, I mean, I'm sure if it busted, it would have, mine would have gone the same way too, based on the energy of the three songs so far. I think he's got, like, the tones of his voice are so lovely. I think, like, James and Matt are a bit more kind of caricature-y, whereas, like, Charlie can really sing. Charlie's got, like, a real kind of personality beyond the kind of stereotypes and the sort of tropes of pop punk music. Like, you know, Matt is very kind of good Charlotte, and James is even more kind of like fake Americanized, whereas Charlie kind of stands apart as his own.
But I think James and Charlie have a really nice blend. Like, I have to listen to it and go, is Matt doing anything in any of these songs?
He's the wild card. He's the Keith Flint.
Yeah, and I'm a bit like, what's the crack there? Are you the hype man? Is he the Bez?
He gets the second verse.
Does he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you diss me.
Oh, yeah, okay. But I do, I think you can clearly hear where they layer Charlie and James together. And I think it's really nice. And I really, really like it.
But I think with Charlie as well, like, the attitude I quite like. You know, he's very much the sort of front man of the thing, especially for a young man. He's the youngest one of the band. We established he's like a good 2 years, I think, younger than the other ones. And he also drums in the video. Like, you know, to this point,
he's on the drums in the video.
The image so far has been there's three of them and the guitar's doing the jumps.
Yeah.
And now it's like, there's still that in there, but he's also behind a drum kit in the middle of the sort of the skating, whatever you call it. I'm not an athletic kid. Was it like a skating park?
A skate park, yeah.
God. You can tell I was in the house reading Smash Hits and playing on my GameCube.
Absolutely.
Not anywhere near a skateboard. The closest I got to a skateboard was on Ministry of Mayhem when they played Cakey Skate.
Oh, Cakey Skate. Do you remember Cakey Skate?
Yeah.
Do we know somebody that was on Cakey Skate?
Do we?
I feel like I know somebody that was on Cakey Skate.
Scott, I made this documentary 4 years ago. I could have had access to box set, whatever. And somebody did Cakey Skate.
Maybe there's a really good chance that whenever you were doing this documentary, I was like, say that again, because of your Northern Irish accent.
It was on this show. We spoke about our mate Jordan Scudder was on Ministry of Mayhem, wasn't he?
He was the hype guy.
He was like, I think he was like dressed up as something.
He used to jump. He was the guy that at the side of the stage would be the guy that jumped up and down and did all of the crack. And he was in loads of episodes, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
Jordan Scudder, that was it.
Anyway.
But yeah, Cakey Skate. I think what I'm doing is emerging us chatting about Cakey Skate with you and making you say it in a Geordie accent again.
Cakey Skate.
Cakey Skate. Do you remember the Jaffa Cake advert with the horses? And he went, it's really cakey. So I think I'm merging three different things together. I've got you doing your dissertation, Jordan Scudder dancing around on Ministry of Mayhem, and a Cakey Skate Jaffa Cake advert. I don't know. Yeah.
Should we bring it back to the music just for one? One more point. Not two more points. So the James Bourne of the band said the writing session, Charlie was talking about being blown out by a girl. He said, I crashed and burned, which is a thing he'd never heard before. So they tied it with a song they'd already written about a girl and renamed it You Said No. Although it was actually originally called Crash and Burn. But a few months ago, the Columbia shuttle disaster happened and they thought Crash and Burn wasn't an appropriate title.
Whereas Bass Hunter never considered those sorts of things and he had a Crash and Burn track.
Did he?
Terrible.
Oh dear. But yeah, so I prefer You Said No as a title. I think You Said No is a more interesting, and you read it on paper. I think Crash and Burn's got potentially quite cliche amongst the kind of guitar music thing. Whereas You Said No is a bit more kind of like, oh, what's that about?
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. This one's also written by Steve Robson of Jarrah. We spoke about him last week for some reason, but I made a clip of it, and that's why I remember his name. I forget what song it was, though. Was it Rob? No, it wasn't Rob Williams. I'm not sure. But there's a point here from Freaky Trigger, the pop music blog who does number one reviews. He called it puerile, but great to sing after the pub, which is true.
Mm-hmm.
Just energetic enough to escape its own skeeviness. It is a bit skeevy, isn't it, really, realistically?
Yeah, this whole thing has me thinking, was Charlie a super talent that really had the choice to make and there was a chance that he wouldn't make it as a solo and he had to go to this band and he was hyperly sold it and really he wanted the indie fight star.
Well, he couldn't have got it there quick enough, could he, really?
No.
Realistically.
Yeah.
But yeah, Freaky Trigger called it the pettier cousin of Teenage Dirtbag, but he said this time the Dirtbag gets the happy ending. It's all a bit mean-spirited. he says. But I think he's generally a fan, though, and I kind of agree. I think it is skeevy. It is a bit sort of mean, like when he's saying, like, ask your sister what you're missing, and it's a bit like, oof.
You could give this to an American rock band, and yeah, it would be considered very different. If all you changed was the name of the band that did this, and obviously you'd have to change the vocals tonally, but if you kept everything else the same, people would think it was anthemic and it was legendary.
Yeah, and I think...
So it's just Busted Brand in bringing in these kind of negative connotations.
Mm. I think equally, though, like the kind of the energy and the bitterness of what they're saying in parts is quite NSYNC.
Yeah, the mastering thing I was saying. That's what's wrong with the intro just at the start for me. There is just like some... So if you give it to Blink and Blink did it the same, there was something he'd softened off on it a little bit. So it's a bit more hazy and distorted. But there is something about it. It's like, yeah, this is a rock tune. Hold in a second, every element feels a bit over-controlled, but it's still a rock tune. But yeah.
Okay. Number two in the UK this week came from Lisa Mafia. It's been an interesting week for her in the April 2003 kind of time. Just 6 days before this single came out, there was a big incident at one of their promo parties that they were holding in London. Somebody was killed.
Oh.
And it was reportedly a gunfight between rival groups. A nightclub event associated with... this is the evening... I'm reading this verbatim from the Evening Standard. From the notorious rap group So Solid Crew, there was shots fired in a club in Clerkenwell, and it was to promote this single that was at number two. This week, she also left So Solid Crew. I'm not sure if it's because of this event or not, but I just found this out today, and it makes for an interesting, like, kind of lead-up to a debut solo single, yeah, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. The track is called All Over. All the thugs in the club, get your crins on ice. Ladies in the club, check your body like that. Keeping it tight.
So yeah, the debut single, but it was also from the debut album First Lady. I love the strings as soon as this opens.
I didn't think I remembered it, then I heard the Lisa Mafia.
That's the only bit I remember of it now at this point. I remember the strings for the starter, and then I was watching it because I listened to this through the music video, so I watched it at the same time. And I was like, where is she? I want her. It took ages for Lisa to come in.
Yeah,
I was like, this isn't a Lisa track, this is a brand of, let's put Lisa's name on it to start making her something, but let's make three quarters of the song somebody else. So it takes ages to get to her, and I wanted her to be there faster than what she was.
The other So Solid Crew band members are JD and Mega Man. They're the ones who are kind of her hype men at various points, but it's also kind of a lot about them as well. But I think it's nice. My big note about their presence in it is it's nice to have blokes in a female fronted R&B track where it isn't them just ruining it and like making it about their inappropriate socio-political beliefs about women.
Yeah.
You know, like Ashanti and Ja Rule, like all of Ashanti's work so far has been dominated by him being a dick. Whereas these don't seem to be being dicks. They seem to be kind of like sort of comedic value and just sort of bigging her up.
Yeah.
And letting her do her thing.
It's kind of like, it's like they're a warm-up show until she comes on, really.
Like, you know, they're not credited on this.
No.
Like, it is very much, like, in the past it's been like such and such and Mega Man featuring such and such and such and such. Whereas this is just called Lisa Mafia, and she's called it, it's called All Over.
Yeah.
So they're kind of in the background, but not in the background because they do start the song. It's like a sort of a very trimmed down version of So Solid Crew. But yeah, as a kind of a platform for her to be a solo artist away from So Solid Crew, which as we've just found out, she's now no longer part of, we don't know exactly why, but she's now kind of occupying that same space that Big Brother's occupy. I'd say probably Mystique of maybe the last era.
Yeah.
And it's a number two.
It is. It's very repetitive. I find it really repetitive, and what I actually find really difficult was to separate the chorus out. It's like, where's the chorus?
Lisa.
Well, it's much more frantic than I remember it being, but that's the bit that obviously sticks with you. I do like it. I really like it
a lot as well, yeah.
But I've forgotten it, apart from...
Lisa.
Yep.
Mafia. In the video, she gets out of a bath, and she has the So Solid Crew logo on her lower back.
Hmm.
I really hope that's not permanent.
Imagine if it was.
Yeah. I hope it's... it looked CGI. I hope it was CGI.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
What about them henna ones?
Even they take ages to come off.
Do they? All right.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not doing that on next all-inclusive.
No, please don't. Please don't. Unless you get my name, then you're allowed.
Oh, thomascook.com.
Thomas Cook still a thing? Didn't they go bust?
No idea. When did I get on holiday?
As if we're guys, serious, if we're going to get you on holiday. I was in Amsterdam recently. That's happened since the last time we recorded the podcast.
Have you done this? Have you done Amsterdam?
Yeah, that was like last month. Yeah. I mean, I've forgotten most of it too, but, you know, don't need to really go into that, do we? Let's get into another track. Actually, before we do, she mentions there about going in the wrong room and it's techno night. And then she goes to room two where the Harlem Shaking, and I was like, oh, Harlem Shake, that's cool, that's coming around. But I'm guessing, Scott, I know you're a dance music person, but not necessarily a techno person. If you had the choice of techno room or room two, we're all sort of the garage bangers and the R&B and where would we find you?
It depends. So so there's a void where I like techno today. I like techno of the late 90s, well, the 90s and the early noughties. There was probably a void where I didn't really like techno. Tech House came in, which was boring, and everybody was a Tech House DJ overnight, thanks to plugins. I don't know, I can't pick.
Well, I've got a techno kind of track next week, so if you had the choice of Lisa Mafia All Over and that kind of sort of stuff, or Tom Craft Loneliness.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. But the Mafia track is very good. Unfortunately, it's not a very long solo career. The album was number 44 and she got dropped on the label very quickly afterwards.
I think there's probably a lot of contributing factors to that.
Yeah.
But I think she deserved a bigger run.
Well, when I was reading about the incident of the nightclub and all that sort of stuff, like, you know, the way the band, we've spoken about this before when we've done So Solid Crew in the past, like, you know, the reputation they had as a band was, it couldn't have been much lower amongst the mainstream media. Like, you know, they were seen as like a real kind of stain on society, the copycat sort of thing of, like, you know, Eminem when he was big and all the parents who were like, you know, grasping their handkerchiefs and going, oh my gosh, it's that same sort of thing. So the fact that she got a number two when the band was in such a bad place at that point, it's quite remarkable. If they, but you know, I don't know. Maybe if they weren't such a kind of controversial band, a number two wouldn't even have been a thing.
No,
they would have been much lower. I don't know. But anyway, somebody causing absolutely zero controversy whatsoever is David Sneddon. This is his second single. Who'd have thought? Fame Academy winner. He gets a second single, and not just a second single, but actually another top three. It was a number three and number one in Scotland. This is Don't Let Go. So I'm leaning on you now into the night. Don't let go. Don't let go. Don't wanna let you go.
This is the follow-up to Stop Living the Lie, and it is off the debut album 7 Years 10 Weeks. While I was doing my prep for this, I was at my desk and somebody came over and was talking to me while I had my headphones on, and they hadn't realised that I had my headphones on. And they went, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realise you were on a call. I was like, oh, I'm not on the call, I'm just listening to David Sneddon. And had to explain that we did a podcast and what it was. And he's like, wow, I love David Sneddon. Cue to the whole...
What?
I know, cue to the whole Fame Academy conversation. And then he did all the talking. But he was like, do you know what? On reflection, Fame Academy was a really credible reality TV show, wasn't it? I was like, listen to the podcast.
Yeah.
We go into it.
Mm-hmm.
It is. And it was restricted just by the nature of the fact it was like the structure that it was.
Yeah.
But... yeah, definitely a really interesting one to watch. Wow. It was like a hybrid of a talent show and Big Brother. Very good. But yeah, there you go. So I've had that conversation.
Because normally these conversations go like, you're watching something on your thing and somebody goes, what's that? And you go, it's Liberty X. And they go, who? Mm-hmm. But like David Sneddon?
David Sneddon, I know.
Wow, that's amazing. Immediately my mind went to, what does that sound like? And there's lots of it.
Oh, interesting.
So I've got, it sounds a lot like the Appleton chocolate advert song.
I've got All Saints, Don't Worry.
Yeah.
That's
the one, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wet, Wet, Wet.
Okay, yeah.
That kind of sound, quite Gareth Gates as well.
I put Gary Jules, weirdly.
Gary Jules, yeah.
Yeah.
I've written Wet, Wet, Wet times Gareth Gates equals wet hair, wet hair, wet hair. Because of Gareth hair gel sort of thing.
Wet hair.
I thought I'd get a bigger laugh, but never mind.
I wasn't even funny, because I think like people were literally just called wet head in my school.
Oh, right, okay.
You know, Brill Cream was a thing, so you had wet hair at my age.
Ah, it's come around again. Hopefully the listener laughed. I'll take it if they laughed. Do tweet us if you did. And I thought as well about, and this is not a slight against him, but you know the sort of, and I had to work out what song it was, but you know in The Office when David Brent sings in the Christmas party at the end? Is it? It's either in the episode, the last episode or the Christmas special.
I've not watched many of them. What does he sing?
I think He sings If You Don't Know Me By Now, but it's not...
Oh, no. Oh, no. I can imagine it.
But I thought...
Is it as bad as I'm imagining?
Who is it sings Who's Gonna Drive You Home?
Who's gonna drive you home? I don't know.
But anyway, so you can tell what kind of...
Chris Rea? No.
Maybe. No. You can tell what kind of headspace it's put me in. It's kind of that sort of power ballad type thing, easy listening, acoustic singer-songwriter sort of thing. And it made me sort of think that he could have a place in sort of musical theatre. Like, he didn't want to be a pop star, obviously, and he never had, like, a long career as a chart performer. Now he's, like, a prolific songwriter. But he's kind of... There's a theatricality to this that means... That makes me think he could be, like, a sort of musical theatre person, or, like, you know, sort of like a rock opera.
So I've written down, is there too much art? Because I couldn't...
The answer is yes.
So the pre-chorus takes a journey that I don't like, because I don't like whenever they're rising up and then they go down to a certain note and he goes down to the note, or there's a gap between notes that plays with my head and I don't like it. And yeah, that's art and stuff. I can't hear where the chorus is. I can't figure out if there's a pre-chorus. And I just can't tell whether this was on purpose or whether it's just trying to break rules on purpose, thinking that people are going to get it and all of that kind of crack. And actually, it's the death of him, but... Mm. I don't, like, tonally it's nice, like, lyrically it's deep, but I think what we're establishing at this point, and we're only into 2003, romantic songs are gone.
Yeah, dated.
Like, ballads are gone. It's immediately dated, and I don't know who's made him do this.
It's better than the, kind of, the Simon Cowell caliber of ballad.
Oh, well, that's when we get ballads, but I'm a moment like... Ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fine. I've got a soft spot from though. I was watching the video today, and I was like, you know what, I do like him. I do like him,
and
I want
a real likability. And
I want good, and he got good things eventually. But I want good things from going forward. Yeah.
I still think he's super talented.
He is. Should say as well, actually, that not only did he get number 3 this week, he also got a 36 as well. Stop Living the Lie came back in the top 40. Got the bounce.
Oh, he's probably been on the national lottery, and all the grannies are like, aye, there he is.
Oh, there, David.
Let's go to Virgin Megastores. Oh, no, it's not on the big yellow button. I can't press it anymore. Oh, no, let's go and buy the single. Gran, you've got 7 copies of it. I know, but I can see his little face. We'll use them as coasters.
I used to love going to HMV and like Virgin Megastore to get singles, but my mum would never like going in with us because it was so loud. HMV used to be always like really, really loud when you walked in.
I don't have a HMV, I don't know.
Oh, okay. No. These days, I don't really feel like it is. I don't really go in that much because it's all very expensive. Like, I like buying vinyl, but like the prices of vinyl in HMV is just scandalous.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not loud anymore. But yeah, back in the day, HMV, you know, the singles all lined up on the sort of shelf near the front and just being blasted with like Foo Fighters or whatever was big at the time.
That's amazing.
But yeah, my mum, not a fan. Right, DMX, a man famed for his barking in his songs. Is this the first song we've done to feature barking since the Baha Men? Must be. I'm putting it out there, just think, like, if anybody can cast their mind back to a song between now and 2000 that also has barking that we've not remembered.
Well, if there was other ones, the calibre will probably be very rough.
There you go. That's the reaction I wanted for my joke. Never mind. This is DMX with X Gon' Give It To Ya.
Do we gonna rock? Do we gonna roll? Do we let it pop? Don't let it go. What? X gon' give it to ya. He gon' give it to ya. X gon' give it to ya. He gon' give it to ya. First we gonna rock? Do we gonna roll? Do we let it pop? Don't let it go. X gon' give it to ya. He gon' give it to ya. X gon' give it to ya. He gon' give it to ya.
This is the lead single from the soundtrack Cradle to the Grave. I've got this down as an intro juice.
Absolutely.
And if you're a big lover of what's just happened over summer with LF System, you'll like the ups and downs in this one. This changes pace perfectly and not annoyingly.
Yeah.
Like some people really do when they change pace.
Like LF System, is that what you're hinting at?
Sort of. But their new one's good.
Yeah, and it's a repeat of the trick, isn't it? But
it's done smarter. It's done, I think it's kind of like, had they knew how successful Afraid the Feel was going to be, what they maybe would have done with it, really, unless they needed to do the kind of the more hyper one to get the hit to start with. But you know, you never know if it's strategy or learning from the first one.
Yeah,
but this track reeks of Armani's at Kelly's for me, and the sink as well too. So I can remember
the sink
dancing to it.
The sink's a club.
The sink. So you had Lush, which was the big dance one, and then the sink was the second room to Lush.
Right.
So if you ever went to Lush on a Saturday where the rest of the complex was closed, so you can't get into the other clubs. If you go into Lush, you can get into the Sync. But the Sync's the one with the little flashy walls that you see in the Thrill Seeker Synesthesia.
Oh, right,
video.
Yes, yeah.
It doesn't have that anymore, plus it doesn't exist. Oh. But yeah, but the Sync was supposed to kind of be the side room for like actually weird experimental tech or something.
Mm.
Or sometimes it would do a little bit of R&B and things in it. But Armani's, which was another club in the same complex that was open on Wednesday nights, so you could go around the mall. It was kind of rock metal. Well, what we would have said would have been rock and metal, but actually it was probably just like dancey chart bangers, which meant you got rock and metal during this era, and you got some hip hop. But yeah, I can remember dancing to this. I can smell the Goldschlager and everything just thinking of it. And man, I was good crack, but what an idiot.
I know. I've just got the word anthem in capital letters. It's just an anthem. I know it kind of a lot because of what it's been in. It's been in things. It was in the Deadpool movie. It was in Rick and Morty. It's been in other things. KFC adverts I've got written down here. It's in the video game Forza Horizon.
If there's chicken wings on the go, you're going to know the soundtrack.
Did you hear me say that? I've got written down KFC. Like, I know it's from KFC adverts. I'm just trying to, like, you know.
You just put it on. It was number one on the list. You just, like, sight read to get away from it.
You've got me a red Lego book.
Yep.
Yeah, it's an anthem. It's got those military drums at the start. They kind of build you into it. He's off there going, oh, 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 oh. Yeah, I think this could be like a wrestling walkout anthem if DMX ever fancied having a crack at the belt.
Yep, absolutely.
So many ad-libs. Like every, and if you look at the genius, the lyrics, every lyric has got like a bracket, or something at the end. You can't just let a sentence breathe.
Could
it's got to be punctuated.
You can keep the podcast.
Have you actually left the room? Oh, he's left the room. He's left the room.
I disinfect my headphones after that. Jesus. I think it's kind of, on the ad-lib point, we get Lil Jon at some point soon who does similar things.
Sorry, you can't go, and then say Lil Jon straight afterwards. It's so strange.
Yeah, anyway. I think it's kind of become a bit novelty because of how many things it has been in and how much of a kind of a anthem, like sort of, you know, sports anthem type thing it's become. But yeah, it's an anthem.
Yeah, I like his voice. I think his voice has a real rasp in it that I think works really, really well. And I remember at the time, I must have seen it loads on the music channels because I remember you could see the side of the car and there was a girl in the reflection in the car who you'll probably actually know her actress name, like her real name. Mm. But she's in Friends as the girl that both Joey and Ross date at the same time. But she's in 10 Things I Hate About You as the friend who ends up kind of hooking up with the idiot Joey, but she's really famous.
All right, okay.
Can't I'll remember her name is, but she was in it. But I remember fancying her, so she got my attention and stuff too for that.
I bet she did.
Yeah, I think it's good.
There's an interesting. He calls himself a jail N word.
Oh right.
Which is interesting because he doesn't lie. It's very true. He really was in and out of jail for most of his life. I will preface it by saying he had a very tough upbringing as well and life before he got famous. Like, I'm not surprised that he did some of the things that he did. I've got this rap sheet here. One of them was impersonating a federal agent.
Oh, interesting.
To hijack a car.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Okay. and all sorts of stuff. But no, DMX unfortunately passed away a couple of years ago.
Oh, did he?
He had a cocaine-induced heart attack.
Oh, no.
Yes. But I think he's earned a lot of respect in the scene over the years. I think he stood apart from other rappers in the scene because he gave off a totally different vibe to the sort of like the Diddy's of the world who were quite blingy and showy, and he just presented himself as a very real, you know, kind of unhinged guy barking.
Yeah.
And people liked that, you know. And I think he cultivated a nice community of people. Although he did commit a lot of crimes, he did like kind of make people happy and put out positive vibes into the world. So good on him. My question on the subject of barking and dogs is, if you were going to be a dog, Scott, what kind of dog would you be?
I don't know. You know, I think
it's more of a complex question than you think, because it's like, would you want to have your human traits put into the dog, or would you want to start kind of from scratch?
I don't want to be a fluffy show dog that needs maintained all of the time, because you can be bothered with that. I think, like, I've got a Westie, and I think Westies are grand, but they are terriers, which means they can be a bit yappy. I'm probably
a bit yappy as well. Yeah,
maybe I'm I've got a beard that probably, and at one point, I started to look like my dog when I grew my beard out, so I think I'm just a West Highland Terrier, to be fair. I'm small, I'm fierce, I think I'm the size of a Golden Retriever when I'm not, and I just have to look at food and it goes on my hips. There you go.
Yeah. I think in my mind, I'd like to be a Golden Retriever, even though I think, you know, those dogs are kind of associated with being quite like luscious and quite grand, lovely coat, nice kind of presentable face. They like getting the tummy tickled. I'm not really getting being touched that much. No. That's what I'm saying about like, I wouldn't want my human traits put in the dog. I'd want to be a dog, but like from scratch.
I've got a guy that I work with who is adorable, and I call him the office Labrador.
Aww.
Because he's just so sweet that like when he curls up on the beanbags and has a wee sleep and stuff, it is just like having a little dog in the office. Aww. And he's really nice. But I love Labradors and Golden Retrievers. I love their skull shape. Off their nose, I like rubbing them once from between the eyes right back.
Pulled the flesh off them, or like just
once you've kind of done them at like 180 degrees for 6 to 10 minutes, and then you've done a little taste test. No, but yeah, I think they're quite. I do like it. They just shit a lot, but yeah. I would have one of those if. So this is I had a dog that died. It was a West Highland Terrier, and I remember having to bring the dog to the vets and being like, I couldn't have a bigger dog than this because I don't want to have to do. The walk of death, holding the dog whenever everything's given up.
So you want a small dog.
Yeah, but I don't want a minute dog, but I want one you can hold. Even a spaniel's probably too big for me to bring in because, you know, I'd probably like make a scene as I like enter to have them put down.
Yeah, it's an important moment, I think, make a scene.
Yeah.
Let people know how sad you feel.
Yeah.
I think we would never suppress emotions anymore.
No, I get that. What I'll do for the next one then, just to make sure I put on a scene, is I'll burst into the room and I'll cry, I'll get on my hands and knees, make a real scene, and if I'm just like feeling it, I think I'll just like throw up on the spot for extra effect.
Yeah. I was going to say like paint your face as well. People can't miss what's going on. They have to look at you.
Oh, the last time, honestly, I couldn't drive home when we put the dog down. It was awful. I had to keep stopping in bus stops, and they had to leave me. They had to come in and tell me, "I'm sorry, you're gonna have to leave now," because I was sobbing, and I'm a noisy, horrible crier, and I was wailing. And I was like, "Luckily, they have a one-way system through our vets, so we go to back door." but it was just awful, and I had to stop. I couldn't drive for prolonged periods of time, and it's like I've got to get home, but I can't just keep. Honestly, the bus drivers in Sunderland were losing their because I was pulling into bus stops to have a tear trying to get to the next one, to the next one, to the next one.
You know how they have like L plates on cars, like P plates, then like a D plate.
Yes.
It's like he's lost a dog. Like just go easy on him. They're like, oh yeah, I understand, no problem.
Yes.
Yeah, fair enough.
I love it.
Right, well, that was an interesting detour. Let's get back into pop music. And it's finally a top 10 single for the White Stripes, who, from what I gather, have kind of been a big part of the up-and-coming kind of rock scene. Like, they've been a band that have been spoken about and everyone's kind of waiting for this sort of moment to happen. It's finally here, and what a moment it is. This is the number 7 for the White Stripes with Seven Nation Army.
This is the opening track of the 4th studio album, Elephant. I still think a number 7's disgraceful based on how good and how long the song's lived for now. It's ridiculous to think that it was a number 7.
It is called Seven Nation Army, though. So
that's poetic.
Because maybe they get the solo midweeks and it was a 5 and they're like, everyone stop buying it, stop buying it.
Do you know how anthemic this is? Right, my first note is I would get this on Hurdle in the first note. Like I played Hurdle.
Yeah.
And I don't think many people wouldn't. I think maybe some people would hear it and they go, oh, I know what it is, and I can't remember who it's by or what it's called.
I think everyone would know this.
Yeah. Okay.
You could play any of those opening notes.
Yeah.
And you'd get it.
Yeah. I paused this at 2 seconds and started writing notes.
There is 7 notes as well in that riff.
Is there?
Yeah.
Oh.
Bum 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 bum. Bomb.
Yes, it is 7.
Clever. The title came from Jack White mishearing the Salvation Army as a child, and he's kept that with him through his life, and here we have Seven Nation Army. It was nearly a Bond song. He wrote the riff in Australia, saved it for a potential Bond song. He thought the chances that happened were actually quite slim, and he made this. Although, actually, in the end, he did make a Bond song, didn't he?
With
Alicia Keys.
Yes, Yeah, he did.
Nobody really likes. But I think I sort of like it-ish, but it's a strange one.
What White Stripes songs have we had to this point that we would know? Do we know any?
Have we had Fell in Love with a Girl by this point?
I don't know. But, you know, it really peaks with Marcus Collins, you know?
They've been around for 6 years at this point. We did mention... Oh, we have had Jack White on the show this year because we spoke about Electric Six, Stange High Voltage.
Yes.
Which is his vocals. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they hadn't had any top 10 singles yet on their own. Let's have a look at singles.
Singles that we should know by now.
So they're on to their fourth album at this point. Yeah, they've had The White Stripes, Distill, White Blood Cells, Now Elephant. They've only got two more albums after this before they kind of, like, you know, went their separate mm-hmm. ways. Singles to this point. Fell in Love With A Girl.
We've had that by this point.
Yeah, it was 2002.
Okay. Fell
in Love With A Girl. And that was a 21 in the UK. It's their best chart performer to this point.
Well, I do know that. Yeah. I did know that really well.
Okay, so that you see, yeah, this is the first number one, first top 10 single. The first of five, I think. Yeah. Mm. We'll get Blue Orchid in a couple of years, which I think is just like... I was bowling, hence this bandage on my wrists.
I haven't even asked you, yeah.
I know, rude. No, I'm kidding. I played bowling this week in Nottingham, won both games, in case you're interested. Thanks very much. And Blue Orchid came on, and I totally lost my game. I was doing really well, and then that song came on. And he just got in my head, and I couldn't focus.
And now how's there a big bandage up your arm?
I don't know, I think I must have, like... bowled the ball and strained.
Oh, right, okay.
Today I had a shower and I couldn't even like squeeze the shampoo bottle. It's that bad.
I was going to say, the penis.
Wrong hand.
No. Oh, you're a left hander. Oh, no.
Nobody needs that image in their head. One of the most instantly recognisable songs you can come up with. One of the most iconic riffs of modern rock music, surely. It plagued my student nights out when I was a student here in Sunderland.
Mine too, yeah. When I was a student.
I know. I'm sure it's much the same now.
I remember we, obviously at university, we managed to, like, you know, you all chip in and we'll try to get cable or whatever it was called back then. And we got cable in and there was music channels. And I feel like this was on the music channel for 3 years in a row.
Mm-hmm.
You there, so you've got that. But that's just how big it was, really.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, does it annoy me?
It did when I was a student.
Yeah.
But I love it again now.
Is it a bit cliche now when they whip it out? Yeah, maybe you need the break from it.
Yeah. And I haven't really had a break from it because it's always been around as a football fan. It lends itself very well to football songs.
Yeah.
Newcastle had a player called Papi Stemba Cisse. Papi Stemba Cisse. Sunderland manager, Martin O'Neill. O'Neill.
Creative.
Former what should have been Prime Minister Jeremy Corbyn. Oh, Jeremy Corbyn, etc., etc. There's loads. If your football club's got
if I can name a tune,
Scott Daniel McGurk. See, yours works. Mm-hmm. Mine doesn't.
Liam left-handed one.
Yes, if you've got a song for your football team that mentions or that has the tune of Seven Nation, we do send it in. I know listener Samantha Key is a Chester fan because she tweeted me last year saying good luck to Gateshead when he played Chester. So that was nice. But yeah, if Chester's got one, you get in touch, and anybody else, please do. Yeah, so what more can you say? I think Jack White gets a lot of applaud for his guitar work, but I think Meg on the drums as well, the kind of the, again, like kind of military, mm-hmm. just... quite spare, but when it needs to go nuts, it goes nuts. I think the guitar, you know, rightly takes front and centre in a lot of people's minds, but the drums can't be ignored too, and of course the vocals, and of course just everything.
I think it's brilliant.
Everything.
Absolutely.
Rolling Stone called it a career-changing hit, which I think is fair. An NME called it their defining tune. I totally agree, but yeah. Jolene is coming up. Wasn't a top 10, but we get Blue Orchid, we get My Doorbell, which is great as well. Icky Thump. All top 10 singles, so yeah, a lot of White Stripes still to come. There was a Grammy-nominated track as well for Best Rock Performance by a Duo or Group, but they lost to Springsteen. If you're going to lose to somebody...
Might
as well be Springsteen. But they did win Best Rock Song, so good for them. Right, one final song, and from the podcast that brought you such forgotten boy bands as... Point Break.
Who?
Damage.
Who?
98 Degrees.
Who?
BB Mac.
Who?
One True Voice.
Who?
And D-Side. Comes 888. This is called Knockout.
You've said Damage, and I swear I was followed by somebody from Damage the other day on socials.
Whoops.
Were you?
Don't think so.
I don't know what the crack is. No, this is where I've got to figure out the accounts. Hold on a second. Scroll. TLC, Brian, Christopher, Mr. Jam, Tamik, no.
Just name dropping at this point.
Yeah. Oh no, it's things that just have been liked and stuff. Let me just scroll through my personal one. Honestly, I did get followed by somebody. Team Damage UK followed me.
Mm.
Is that who it is? RSDMG, Jade Jones, yep, Noel DMG, Andres DMG. We love Damage. We always have done.
Well, look, to do my look, the political thumbs are coming out. When I say forgotten, I just mean like forgotten. Didn't say bad. I just said forgotten. And the whole point of this podcast is to bring those forgotten voices back to the mainstream.
Absolutely.
And here comes Triple H. We're doing the exact same for them, aren't we?
We are.
We're giving them the platform they deserve, don't they? Just in case Triple H follow us on Twitter or anything like that. This isn't on Spotify. Are they ashamed? Go on. Hit us with what we need to know.
Well, so I listened via the video, and I pressed play on it, and I don't know what... Well, I do know what it was. I smirked straight away. I did smirk straight away. And there's so many people, you know, like the person that was supposed to make the video has probably made it to brief, and that part looks really good if you ignore the sound. And then the person who's made the sounds produce a sound really well, but ignore what the guys look like.
Yeah.
Vocally, there's certain bits that are right, but ignore the genre of the track. You know, there's...
Choreography?
It's NSYNC, Bye Bye Bye, yeah. Meets England, which equals cringe.
Yeah.
And... I don't remember
this at
all. It's
like NSYNC and 5, isn't it? It's like NSYNC 5 with kind of like rap rock Linkin Park bits.
Yeah. It's like merge 5 with a Butlin's entourage and then merge NSYNC into it, and that's kind of what you've got here. This I know this is brutal, but there, like, I don't know. Like, I did some... I'm just going to be honest. I submerged straight away. It was odd. I don't know what it was. I've never seen, I don't know how many's in it, I'm going to say five, I've never seen five more unconvincing guys in a scene, because it's all very underground. Like, you know, when Blue came out and were in tunnels underground and marching through London and stuff, that kind of looked convincing. Whether or not they were, you know, say they were like little privileged rich kids, it still looked like they had walked around London before. These other guys looked like they've never been in the sewer that they're dancing around in ever.
Mm.
It just didn't add up.
It sort of feels like, since 5 split up, there's been a real gap in the market for a band that can sing, dance, rap,
yeah,
and look cheeky and a bit edgy. You know, Blue don't do that really. No. They're in a different, you know, Westlife's in a different sort of area. 5 have left a real void. D-Side last week kind of tried to fill that, but not convinced. This slot, I mean, yeah, there's the NSYNC thing, there's the 5 thing, there's the Linkin Park thing, there's even the kind of like, even the sort of, you know, the grottiness of the Sugar Babes revival of like Freak Like Me and like Round, that's the kind of aesthetic here. But they're all like, you know, very clearly the way they're dressed has been poured over by, you know,
stylist.
Well, I was gonna say like surgeons of just like, and like musically constructed.
Oh, yes,
in a lab.
Yeah.
The band's been put together by Chris Herbert, formerly of 5, interestingly enough, but also Spice Girls and Bewitched.
Yep.
So it shouldn't be a surprise that this is kind of, it comes out feeling very chemically engineered by people who are looking for the next, you know, chasing the next pound coin, basically. Chuck A1 in the mix as well, because A1 are no longer with us at this point, are they? I think they break up around this sort of time.
Mm-hmm.
So they're kind of out of the picture too. And there's even some A1 in there with the choreography they're doing. You know, the same old brand new you kind of attitudes in there, even if it couldn't sound anything further from it, really. It's just, I mean, the fact we've mentioned all those different bands and not mentioned anything about them particularly should show you that this is clearly something that's designed by committee.
Yeah, there's a Fred Durst kind of vocal as the lead sound of it, which is kind of okay. 6. Not because the person can't sing, it's just, again, that seems like it's had something done to it that just makes it seem like it's you know, it's not natural fruit juice, it's the sunny delight full of chemicals of pop music. It's filled with junk.
Just confusing, isn't it?
Yeah.
What an absolute mess. The debut album would have been called Heavyweight, but it wasn't made because this didn't really do that much. They do get 2 UK top 10 singles, but they're less heavyweight and more lightweight, unfortunately.
Well, that's them knocked out of the podcast. Ba-dum-bump.
Hey. X got given it to them. Your punchline was better than mine. I should have left it. Right, we've got some winners to pick out of the 6 from this week. Just a short week, but we'll be heading into May next week. So, where do you stand, Scott McGurty?
I think I've got a 4.
I think I do too.
I've got a 4. I think in 4th place, which I would actually like to be higher, even though I've said some strange things about merging of the chorus. In 4th place, I'll have Lisa Mafia all over. Mafia, member, soldier, I'm a soldier. In 3rd place... Oh, no, this is...
Gets tricky here.
It does get tricky here. In 3rd place, I'm going to go with DMX. X gon' give it to you. X gon' give it to you. He gon' give it to you. X gon' give it to you. He gon' give it to you. 2nd place, Busted, You Said No. And I thought whenever I looked down the spreadsheet that Busted was clear as day going to win this, because sometimes I think the ones at the top of the spreadsheet that were the number ones are gonna. But my winner this week is the White Stripes' Seven Nation Army.
Right.
Where are you at?
For a second week in a row, not that you remember this, but I do because I edited it yesterday. We're in a very, 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 very similar position. But because you've done what you've done, I'm tempted to switch, but I don't want to. Like, my four's the same, Lisa Mafia all over.
Yep.
Me three's the same, DMX, X gon' give it to ya. X gon' give it to ya, he gon' give it to ya. X gon' give it to ya, he gon' give it to ya.
Oh.
And then it leaves those two. On my digital bit of paper here, I've got Busted as two and White Stripes as one, but you've done the exact same thing. And I feel like Busted needs to be in there, but what do I actually like more? Am I sick of White Stripes? It did really buggers for a lot of years because of hearing it in the same place every single week like clockwork. And knowing what nightlife is like, it probably still is the same thing. Part of me wants to do the gentleman's agreement thing of because you've gone one, I'll go the other, but I don't. I want to go White Stripes as well. Yeah.
Well, it's still going to... Busted is still going to make the listener's choice.
Yeah. Okay. We'll do two Busted, You Said No. And number one, White Stripes with Seven.
This is exactly why this podcast is so hard.
Yeah.
But the next bit's even harder.
I think we, on a week like this, we need a third person who can come in and say they loved it. Where, get, are they still here?
I don't know.
Get the Sneddon person to come down and they can...
No, he's teaching to three. He's probably gone. He makes over here. I don't know.
I was going to say, the weeks like this and last week where we've gone for the exact same thing, we need a third person in the mix who can just be like the complete contrast to us because we are quite similar.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make for like great conflict, but we're not conflicting people, are we?
I don't even think I've got this guy's number.
Get him on the phone. Get him on the phone.
No, I don't think I do. I don't even know his surname. So.
Could just grab somebody randomly out from outside and just pull them in. Anyway, so yeah, we've both gone for the same thing. We've both got the same series winners as well. The choice now falls to you first, Scott. Girls Aloud, with their own kind of army of sorts. It started a movement. With White Stripes' Seven Nation Army in opposition. Will there be a reversal of power? Much like there could be in the country. Drone.
This is really difficult. This is really difficult because I don't love Seven Nation Army the way that I love Sound of the Underground.
But
yeah, so there's a head here. There is a question: is Seven Nation Army the best song of that decade? You know, and I didn't see this coming as a contender. And I'm worried. I don't feel like I can make a right decision here at all. I feel like I have to just make a decision and stick to it, which means I need to apply logic to both ends. Seven Nation Army, I think it's simply instrumental, or instrumentally simple, with brilliant mastering for 2003, and that's what makes it special. His voice is great. Did it cause the revolution that we saw from Girls Aloud? Did it just exceed our expectations where a good band should be getting better and better? We're four albums in here now before we get this. Girls Aloud, I don't know, UKG, Impact, the surprise element of it. Was anybody surprised by the White Stripes? I'm sticking with Girls Aloud based on the fact that maybe there's no element of surprise here with this. There was just an expectation that the White Stripes were so talented they should bring out this song and this should exist. Yeah, Girls Aloud stays on. It's bloody hard, that.
That is hard.
So when you were going to Busted... and you were thinking of maybe having Busted as your first, I thought, hold on a second, this is the moral dilemma for you. This should be your moral dilemma.
Okay, well, you've stayed the same. It's now 8 weeks for you.
I'm not saying that you should change or trying to influence that in any way, shape or form or anything like that. But
okay.
Well, so where are you at? What's your current series winner?
Same as you, Girls Aloud.
Oh, Sound of the Underground. Okay, yep. So Liam, Girls Aloud, Sound of the Underground versus the White Stripes, Seven Nation Army. True.
So I was very torn between Busted and White Stripes. Could either of them be contenders against Girls Aloud? That's got to be the question. I think we're at that point now with Girls Aloud where it's not quite Girls Aloud next because the caliber of tracks that we're getting at the minute. Like, you know, mm-hmm. when All Saints was All Saints next, it was going up against things that were like not really going to stand up massive. I mean, it did get knocked off very quickly, but mm-hmm. like I think every week at the minute it feels like there's big tracks coming through that are like big enough and credible enough to do it. Like, you know, Junior Senior we had recently.
Yeah.
Avril Lavigne last week was kind of like, you know, if you're going purely based off like, I don't know, depends what mood you're in. For me, it depends what mood you're in.
But yeah, which is the hard part, because there is a logic thing here, and this is what's hard with the listener's choice as well, is that you might just pick what you like the most, but actually
that's
you need
kind of
to apply the logic to it. I'm much more strict, because I might, if I did that, I mightn't even be where I am. I'm just trying to definitively balance things out. But
If I went based on your normal criteria, which is like, you know, the impact, like I think Seven Nation Army's had more global impact.
Yeah.
But I don't really go off your logic, and even you didn't go off your logic this week.
No.
So can't really change, can I?
No.
No.
Okay.
It's gotta be Girls Aloud.
Okay.
It's gotta be Girls Aloud. They stay on.
Also, we can say Seven Nation Army's a specialist track because it's that good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Girls Aloud's a definitive pop track.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
That's
again, it opens up a whole conversation about the definition of the word pop, but we're not doing it today because we've done it before.
And the definition of naughty.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I was thinking about that this week. I was on the bus and I was kind of like, I spent ages with the idea of what the podcast was going to be, but the title, I forget how the titles came up, but I got there eventually. And I was thinking, like, what else could the podcast... What I think I saw something somewhere and I thought it could have been called that, and I'm glad it wasn't called that now, because the Naughties are good.
Scott and Liam, pick some tunes.
Yeah. But actually, I had an idea for a spin-off. I was kind of like... But you're too busy. But it needs to be you to do it, because it's like, because of what it is. It's just called The Danciest Dance.
Yeah,
it's
that could be quite
it's
good.
Just dance music, but we're
we could
that.
Do that.
No,
and I've got a platform that we could actually put that out in the radio on as well. Dun dun dun. Commissions.
Yeah,
Chuck,
if anybody wants to.
Kickstarter. Pay the bills. Okay, so
we need to hang out in more expensive circles, don't we? We need to like buddy up with some kind of like really like sort of hedge fund investors.
We really
don't
do. And you know, at least with some of the clients I'm linked in with now, you've upgraded your chicken shops.
Yeah.
You know,
that's
so
true, actually. Yeah,
we're
that's
in with hipster chickens now, which is quite good. But yeah, we want to hear from you though, please, across the week at TNNpod on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And you can email us in hello@tnnpod.co.uk with your emails and voice notes too. Thank you very much.
For listener's choice, we're going to go White Stripes Busted DMX.
Yep.
And then whatever one listener's choice.
Yep.
Cool. That's sorted. Next time, it's a jam-packed week featuring lots of our favourite things. Get it?
Uh-huh.
Including Craig David, Kelly Rowland, Good Charlotte, and the Cheeky Girls.
We can't talk about favourite things without mentioning Big Brothers. They're in there, plus podcast debuts from Bangor Knights, and a huge number one from Tomcraft.
Get in.